Isn't that so true? I love that song too, and it is so true. I need thee every hour. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 133. Last Sunday night was a very special service to me. And I just want to go ahead and tell you that I only want to talk to you tonight. I don't really want to preach at anybody. I just want to talk to us tonight. Last Sunday night, I felt especially blessed personally by the presence of the Lord. I don't mean to sound anything other than honest at this moment. But I felt very personally blessed by the presence of our Lord. Our Lord has promised that where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of them. But I want you to think about this, okay? And again, this is just me talking to us. Think about this. Our Lord was in the midst of those two on the road to Emmaus for quite a while before He revealed to them that He was in the midst of them. You ever thought about that? He was there. He was in the midst of them. But they didn't know He was in the midst of them. They were torn all to pieces. They were saying, He said, what are you talking about? And they said, what do you mean? You don't know what's going on? We're all up in turmoil here. Our Savior, they crucified Him. We thought He was going to redeem us, but they hung Him on a cross. Just torn all to pieces. They didn't know that He was with them, and they didn't feel that He was with them. But once He started opening up the Scripture to them, and once He revealed His presence to them, they said, didn't our heart burn within us? They were all torn to pieces until that moment. And then they said, didn't our heart burn within us? Because He was the one right there talking to us. He was the one with us. And they knew, and they felt the presence of their Lord. Well, last Sunday night, my heart burned within me. And that's my, I'm sitting there singing, I need thee. I need thee. Bless me, my Savior. I'm not a huge fan of my preaching. I don't bless me very often. And so, really, you like hearing yourself talk on the answer machine? You like hearing your own voice? Help me. Please let me be a part of it too. Let me worship too. Well, I believe the Lord let me worship Him last Sunday night. And I believe it was the same for some of you, because I had the same conversation with many of you as I was afterwards, you know, talking and this and that. And we were talking about how thankful we are for those moments when we really believe the Lord has allowed us to worship Him. And we can all witness the fact that when we believe the Lord has truly allowed us to worship Him and truly caused us to enter into a spirit of worship, that worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, it causes us, it produces in us a loving bond with each other. And we know what I'm talking about. I walked out of this building last Sunday night feeling a true bond of love with you. Our brother confessed the Lord in baptism. And I had about 20 people come up to me after the service saying, I wish I could confess the Lord in baptism again. I know, me too. I want to confess Him again and again and again. But I believe His presence brought great love into this place. And I pray that His presence will do that again and again and again. And this is for all believers. Tonight's message is for all believers everywhere. But I'm speaking to Kingsport tonight. I'm talking to us tonight specifically. I pray that the presence of the Lord will bring the blessing of love and that bond of unity again and again and again to this place. Because here's the reason why. It is so good for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is so good. Look at Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word unity means one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in one. What is one? Who is one? Christ is one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in Christ. If brethren are dwelling together in one and dwelling together in unity and dwelling together in love, they are dwelling together in Christ. Dwelling in Christ. When we realize those moments that I'm talking about, we get a little foretaste of what glory with and in Christ is going to be like. It is going to be love. It is going to be unity. It is going to be oneness. I pray that God might bring that foretaste to us here in this place. Because it is so good and it is so pleasant. It is the greatest thing that a believer can experience in this lifetime. Unity with God's sheep in Christ. Verse 1, he said, behold how good and how pleasant it is. How good and how pleasant. It's good and it's pleasant. I was listening to a message by Brother Bruce Crabtree. And this gets the point across. Okay? He said that when he was a kid, his family never went to the doctor. He said it didn't matter what the ailment was. His family just never went to the doctor. He said, I almost died once because my family just didn't go to the doctor. And he said, the reason we didn't go to the doctor is because my mother believed that the cure for everything was cod liver oil. He said, you didn't dare cough around her. You didn't dare act sick around her. She'd say, I got something for that. And she would go mix cod liver oil with orange juice and make him drink it on down. He said, to this day, orange juice makes me sick at my stomach. But he said, here's the thing. He said, here's the thing. I now acknowledge that cod liver oil is good. It's just not very pleasant. There are things that can be good that are not very pleasant. brethren dwelling together in the unity of Christ is both good and pleasant. Oh, it's so pleasant. It is. It is so pleasant. Experiencing the embrace and the oneness, the togetherness, the loving bond that God's people share. It is so pleasant. So good. So pleasant. See if this doesn't prove to us how good and pleasant it is. Our Lord prayed for unity. Our Lord prayed to His Father for our unity. He prayed to the Father for our unity. Look with me, if you would, at John 17. John 17, verse 19. Our Lord said, "And for their sakes," speaking of His people, all that the Father gave to Him, "for their sakes I sanctify myself," I set myself apart, "that they also might be sanctified through the truth," set apart through the truth. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." The glory you gave me. That is such an amazing statement. Just think about what our Lord said. He said, "Father, the glory that you gave to me, I've given to them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one," in Christ, "and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Is that amazing? He said, "This is my prayer for them, Father." Verse 24, "I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them." Unity is of God. It's of God. Unity is a gift from God. And unity is something that we should be begging the Lord to keep with us. Now, reflecting on how greatly the Lord blessed me Sunday night, reflecting on that love and unity that I believe He allowed us to know and experience, it causes me to realize our need to guard it and to protect it. We have it, and we need to protect it. Does that make sense? We have it. And we need to protect it. If two do not agree, if two do not agree on the sovereignty of God. If two do not agree on salvation being completely of the Lord, you talk to somebody and two cannot agree that salvation is totally in the hands of the Lord. If two cannot agree that it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that redeems sinners to God. If two do not agree that it is Christ alone. You know, a lot of people say Christ, but it has to be alone. It has to be grace alone. It has to be faith alone. It has to be scriptures alone. It has to be the glory of God alone. And if there is no spiritual agreement, then there cannot be any unity. There's not going to be any unity between two who are in that case. But here's the thing that I want us to really understand tonight as brethren, because we live in sinful flesh, I live in a body of sinful flesh, and so do you. And because we live in sinful flesh, even when there is spiritual agreement, our sinful flesh sometimes has a way of ruining our unity. And none of us want that. We don't want it. We just do not want it. You know that Abraham and Lot did not want to be at odds with each other. You know they didn't. They're men who kept their cattle couldn't get along. And then so Abraham and Lot started arguing about it. And Abraham said, Lot, you take the way you want to go and I'll go the other way. You know they didn't want to be at odds. You know that Paul and Barnabas didn't want to be at odds with each other. You know they didn't. So Paul exhorted us from his own experience. He exhorted us, strive to protect the unity that God has given to you. I take it to heart. I pray that we all might really take it to heart. Strive to protect it. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians 4. Our brother just read this to us. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Low, meek, patient, upholding each other, supporting each other. Verse 3, he said, endeavoring. That means working, laboring, striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is so good and so pleasant. It is so pleasant. Endeavor to keep it. How do we do that? We do that in lowliness. We do that in meekness. We do that in patience. We do that by forbearing one another. How do we do this? How do we endeavor to keep this brotherly and sisterly love that has been given to us? Turn over to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's our brethren who are already there. John said, I saw the kingdom of God. And all the brethren who have gone with us now have seen this kingdom of God. All the brethren who are physically there with Christ. In verse 10, he said, they all cried with a loud voice. All of them. This is the number no man can number. And they're all in unity. And what is their unity up there? This is our unity down here. What is their oneness of heart up there? This is our oneness of heart down here. Verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. They all in oneness and unity cried, all salvation belongs to the Lamb. The Lamb who sits on the throne. The Lamb who was slain for the sin of His people. That is the unified cry of all of God's people. Salvation unto the Lord. Salvation is in His hands. Verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. What are all of our brethren doing in unity up there right now? They are all falling down before the throne on their faces, worshiping God. I want to do that in this heart. I want to do that. If we will do that in this heart, we'll be in unity. If we will all fall and bow to Him, not unto me, not unto us, unto Thy name. Give all the glory. In humbleness, in lowliness, in meekness, all the saints in glory right now. And that's the thing that is just lovely to me. They're all so humble. They're all so meek. They're all so patient with each other. They have nothing to be impatient about, but they're all falling on their faces before the throne. If that will be our focus and our desire down here, we'll be in the same unity that they're in up there. Verse 12, they're all saying, this is what they all say, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Don't you want to stand in that congregation and cry that to Him? We can do that right down here in unity. We can do that right down here. Amen. If that is the cry of your heart, I want to be in unity with you because that's the cry of my heart. Look at Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, verse 9 says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You're the worthy one. You're the worthy one. That's what every saint in glory is focused on, singled in on. You're the worthy one. Look at Revelation 4, verse 11. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You created everything, and you did it for your own pleasure. For your own pleasure, they are and were created. All for you. Is that the cry of your heart? If the answer is yes, then I want to be at unity with you. Lord, don't let me ruin unity with a brother who cries that. Please, please don't. Tell me if this strikes a chord with you. Tell me if this makes sense to you. Once the Lord calls us home to glory, all the sin of our flesh is going to be stripped away. We know that. Sin's going to be gone. Everything hard to get along with about me is going to be ripped away. And we will only possess the holy nature of Christ Himself. Everybody there is going to be just like Christ. Will you talk about love, everybody? Everything about us will be lovable. I think about the saints in glory, and in my mind, they are lovable. They are precious. In my mind, they're so precious. That's how we think of our brethren who are already there. We think of them in their sinless state. Okay, when we think of brethren already there. I cannot wait to have conversations with David. I can't wait to have a conversation with Moses, Abraham, Solomon, Rahab the harlot. I'm looking forward to spending time with them. I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with them around the salvation that Christ accomplished for us. Us just being together, dwelling together in the unity of worshiping our Lord and Savior. If we desire and look forward to being with our brethren up there, let's desire and look forward to being with our brethren down here. Lord, put that in me. Put that in us. Our brother who was just called home from California. Again, I can't stop thinking about it. Every time somebody goes, I just cannot help but just the glory. That precious, precious man endured such hardship. He had cancer in his tongue and they had to cut his tongue out. And he had to eat through a tube for 2 years. Had to go to rehab to learn how to chew and swallow again. And he had pain after pain and hardship after hardship. And now all is gone. And he's just like, he looks just like Jesus Christ. And he can speak with the tongues of angels. And I'm looking forward to having fellowship with that brother again up there. But here's the thing about it. I had wonderful fellowship with him down here. Same man. Just not carrying the taint of sin anymore. As we think of our brethren there, let's think of our brethren here. I know this is asking a lot. I know this is virtually an impossible task. But we're going to be together worshiping Christ for all eternity. I think about that so much. We're going to be, and I'm so happy, we're going to be together forever. The thing about it is I really do love you. I love God's saints, but I love you. And I want to be with you forever. Not just God's people, you. And we're going to be together worshiping Christ for all eternity. Let's strive to be together and strive to come together worshiping Christ down here. As all sin is gone up there, all sin is gone. I mean, it's gone. It's removed as far as the east is to the west. Let's strive to remember each other's sins no more. I know that's not possible, but we can strive to. We can try. Let's recognize that this is the will of God concerning us. By this shall all men know that we are Christ's disciples, that we have love and unity with each other. Don't turn back, but David said in Psalm 133, he said, "The love and the unity that has been given to us with Christ our Savior, the goodness of it, the pleasantness of it." He said, "It's like the oil that Moses poured on Aaron's head and wouldn't stop pouring it. Moses didn't pour a drop on his scalp and say, okay, rub that in. He said, it's the goodness and the pleasantness, that dwelling together in unity, the goodness. He said, this is what it's like. It's like the oil that was poured on Aaron's head, and Moses kept pouring it and kept pouring it and kept pouring it to the point that it ran down his face and his beard, and he kept pouring it so that it ran down his clothes all the way down to his feet. That's the goodness of God on Christ, our head, that flows all the way down to us, his body, all the way down to where I am, down at the feet, down at that lowest part. As he has poured his good and pleasant, loving unity, just as we read John 17, we enter into the good and pleasant, loving unity that has been poured on us, flowed down to us from Christ our Savior, Christ our head. Let's pour it on each other. Let's recognize the need to strive for it. Let's work for it. Let's contend for it, Paul said. Because it is honestly so good and so pleasant. It makes worship so good and so pleasant. It makes for a happy gathering. It makes for a loving house. It makes for a loving family in Christ. All right, I want to end the message by going back to Psalm 133, but I want to stop in Acts chapter 2 along the way. So you can grab both places if you want to. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Peter said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Watch verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Doesn't that sound good and pleasant? Doesn't that sound so good and so pleasant? May the Lord increase our unity. And may he do it by way of increasing our focus on Christ. All focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at Psalm 133, verse 1 says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Eternal life in and with Christ our Savior. That's our unity. That is our unity. Lord, bring us together in You. Bring us together in You. Eternal life with You. Let's keep our eyes on eternal life with Christ, and we'll have unity. All right.